Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. American Theater Company opened the Tony-nominated musical Title of Show this past weekend at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center, which also included appearances by the musical's book and librettist and co-creator and original star, Hunter Bell. Title of Show has been called by the creators a musical about two guys writing a musical about two guys writing a musical. It was originally written on a three-week deadline for a New York New Theater Work Festival. It was very popular, eventually moved off Broadway, and finally to Broadway itself, starring the creators Bell and composer Jeff Bowen, and their collaborators Susan Blackwell and Heidi Blickenstaff, playing essentially versions of themselves. American Theater Company continues its run of Title of Show this Thursday through Saturday at the Williams Theater, the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. My guest today is director Jana Ellis and co-creator Hunter Bell. This marks a renewed collaboration for the two as they attended college together at Webster College in St. Louis. And they join us today on Studio Tulsa. Hunter and Jana, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And Hunter, well, I'm going to start with you. Title of Show is the name of the musical that American Theater Company is doing. And, of course, this is just a great story because it's true life wrapped up in the musical, wrapped into true life.
I had a mentor, a writing teacher named Linda Berry, who's an awesome playwright, writer. And she coined a word, autobiofictionography. I was like, that about sums it up, because we don't claim to be a documentary. But for those of you who don't know, Title Show is the story. It's an original musical that chronicles its own journey from inception to opening night on Broadway. And so the show you're watching is about the creation of the show you're watching. So taking meta to a new level, folks.
You know, you hear that story, most people say, Seinfeld, you know, a
sure.
show about a show.
They did all right. They did pretty well.
They did. Was that any influence at all? Or what was the germ of inspiration?
Honestly, the germ of inspiration, my collaborator and co-writer Jeff Bowen, who did music and lyrics, he and I are creatures of the theater. We loved musical theater. We loved the art form. And we would go see readings and contemporary shows. And we always were kind of interested with the seemingly mundane. And maybe that is an influence either in the zeitgeist of that Seinfeld kind of thing of like a tiny moment can mean everything. But what always, when we started writing Title of Show, what entertained us the most and what kept the pen flowing and the keyboards clacking was us writing. You know, we would get tickled about the process and it just kept us moving. So I don't know. I guess that's the inspiration. It's what kept us going. And then it expanded from there.
Now, of course, the premise of the show is it's 3 weeks before this showcase
event.
Yeah, like
a new musical theater festival.
Yeah. And so it's 3 weeks before the deadline, and you basically decide to write a musical.
We do, like you do.
Now, how much truth is there?
That is actually true. I was working a day job in New York City. I was packing book boxes, very glamorous, but literary. Read on my breaks. I would read on the breaks. And Jeff was running a web design firm. And we had written together before, but we kind of been stagnant and uncreative. And a friend of mine at work said, oh, there's this new Works Theater Festival in New York. Why don't you submit something? And I would pull up the website, and it was 3 weeks away. And honest to God, Jeff and I said, let's just send something. And it's represented in the play. And whatever we get done in 3 weeks' time, we'll put in an envelope and mail it in just as a creative exercise, just to say, yes, I'm still a creative person on this earth that is capable of typing and writing something. So that part is all true. And we sent something off in 3 weeks and heard back from them. And the first call we got back from the festival was like, is this a joke? what is this? I think it was very self-referential. It had the judges' names at the time for it. And at that time, the show was about trying to get into the festival. So it was site-specific for that. So that was true.
And lo and behold, once they actually said, okay, you're serious, this is a cool idea, let's do this.
Yeah, I think we met with the Chris Stewart, who ran and he's name checked on the show, I think,
yes.
Who ran the festival at the time. And he was like, this is so strange and weird. And we're like, this is a show. We think this is, we're passionate. We don't think this is a joke or a cartoon. This is an original musical. It just happens to name check everybody in your handbook. And he said, how about 3 nights? And we said, how about 6? And, you know, a little give and take. And they put us in a tiny, tiny theater in New York City called the Belt Theater. And we said it looked like a Mexican cockfighting ring. I don't know if you can picture that at home. Because the audience sat above us and we were or below, and so we would cheat out. And all the other shows were like, we hate this space. And we're like, we're in New York City, you know, living the dream. So we had a run at New York Music Theater Festival, and that was the first incarnation. Met a commercial producer, Kevin McCollum, who had produced mm-hmm. Rent. And that worked out pretty well in the Heights, Drowsy Chaperone. And saw this weird piece of theater and said, who are you guys? What is this? And we connected with them commercially, and that was the start of it.
Yeah, and it is the story of yourself and Jeff Bowen
yeah.
playing yourself.
We did. We cast ourselves like you
did. Susan Blackwell eventually became Heidi Blickenstaff.
Blickenstaff, yeah.
But there's actually a fifth Beatle here.
There was a fifth Beatle. what's before Beyonce. And when we did small readings of it, a friend of ours, Stacia Fernandez, originally was one of the quartet. And she's an amazing actress, and the only reason I wish there was some scandalous reason to.
She got a better gig.
She got a better gig, and she was writing a piece of her own, I think a Dusty Springfield show, and then went on, and then she went into a Broadway show, and we were down a man, and so Jeff Bowen had toured with Heidi Blickenstaff in an international tour of Tommy. In Brazil, of all places. So I don't know if any of you caught that tour, if it passed through. But they knew Heidi, and we roped her into our reindeer games, and it really clicked then.
The first time you performed it, Heidi was Stacy.
Which was so weird and strange. And then I remember the day we kind of then enveloped her, and as we continued to create the show and chronicle its journey, we enveloped her life and pulled stories from all of our lives to create this musical.
Now, Jana, let me ask you about American Theater Company deciding to do this show. What was the attraction of this particular show? I mean, first of all, it's a very tuneful show. In fact, we should probably play some music here in just a moment.
That's a fantastic
idea. Because
we
have a minute and a half version of what you took us 8 minutes
Perfect.
To tell, which is...
Yeah, I know. Come on. Just play the... Roll the clip.
Keeping with... The title of the musical, which is title of show, it is the untitled opening number. And this must have been a lot of fun to write.
It was one of the first things written, and it was one of the things that has remained unchanged from the time, the very first days of writing, unchanged all the way to Broadway, actually. So that's a fun fact for you.
Well, let's hear that, and then we'll get back to Jana in just a
Fantastic.
Moment. Here's music from title of show. American Theater Company continues to present that this weekend, Thursday through Saturday, at the Williams Theater. Here's a little bit of music.
We'll start with the seed of an idea, then plant it onto paper with a Dixon Ticonderoga, and then watch it sprout into a musical. And then we'll help to make it grow bigger. Nothing guarantees it will stand out, and its future is unknown. So in the meantime, we will schedule a lot of meetings in Hell's Kitchen to collaborate in my living room. But we can't do it all alone.
So
we'll get together all our friends and exploit all of their talents. We'll explore the latest trends and avoid them when we balance the book with the score.
Book with the score.
The score with a lyric appealing to the judge. These are shapes gently nudging the satiric.
We're trying hard not to duplicate what we've seen and heard before. And if Bartok's here, he'll appreciate if we're inventive with the score.
So we'll put in a syncopation, and we'll add a quarter note. And we'll softly start the coda from a very tiny point. And then we'll get a little louder to further emphasize the point. And then we'll cross downstage toward you. And now we're yelling fortissimo.
Yelling fortissimo.
Yelling fortissimo.
Opening song. It doesn't have a title, no.
That is the untitled opening number from Title of Show, American Theater Company's latest production. My guest today is the performer and writer of the book, Hunter Bell, who is actually a character in the show.
He's a character.
Is it a character?
And
then we're also talking with director Jana Ellis. What was the attraction of doing the show for ATC?
Well, for ATC, I'm not sure, except that it is a great show.
And it hasn't been out there that long. How long have the regional rights been out?
Couple of years, year and a half mm-hmm. or so, and mm-hmm. so far so good.
Well, what was your attraction to it then?
Well, my attraction, other than the fact that it's a great show and great music, which at the time was all I knew. I had never seen the show But I went to college at Webster University with my friend Hunter.
I went to college at Webster University.
Small world.
It's like an UNESCO play.
So, of course, the thought of getting to direct my friend's play, for which he has been quite honored and Tony nominated and winning OBs and all that kind of stuff.
When you first read the script, could you hear his voice? Even going back to college.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I said, Jenna, Jenna watched that show for 4 years and had
yes,
to endure it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I was
so excited for when they hired me to come in and direct, to get the script in, to do the auditions, and just to read Hunter's words and really start getting into the show. And I knew the soundtrack backwards and forwards, but I didn't have all the connecting pieces. And certainly there's quite a bit more to it. And not everything is on the soundtrack, even that's sung. And so, yes, in auditions, especially when actors, when human beings got up there and started bringing the words to life, it was, I got back in a time machine for a little bit of time and have stayed there on and off throughout the process.
Now, is your Hunter very reminiscent of Hunter
in
any way?
He is. And
so you didn't go against type.
I did not.
So he's incredibly handsome. Let's get that out of the way.
And the cast, Matt Horton plays Hunter. Mm-hmm. And Carlina Riggs plays Heidi. And mm-hmm. then Kathy Rose plays Susan. Mm-hmm. And then there's my friend Robert Young, who plays Jeff. And this cast, some of them have worked together before, and then Matt, who's playing Hunter, actually, has not done a lot of theater, but his singing, get ready for him to blow the doors off of the Tulsa PAC,
all of them, actually. Yeah. How much is the camaraderie, that sort of idea? Because you guys were basically starving artists when you were putting this together, working day gigs. How much is that camaraderie a part of? How much does it need to be a part of the show?
I think it's actually everything, because we always say that the plot of the show is about two guys trying to run a musical. The heart and the themes of the show are quite universal, I feel like. I'm biased, of course, but about friendship, about trying to achieve dreams and why we stop ourselves from going for those dreams. And, you know, it became universal because our journey was, we want to write musicals. An audience journey may be like, I want to open a cupcake shop. I want to go skydiving. Right. I want to be a jazz musician. What are those things you're doing in your life or want to be doing in your life that you're not doing? So those are those bigger universal themes. And then the other part of that is about four friends. And what does success do to friendships? What is collaboration? A lot about that. And we were close in each other's lives, and we always said, too, if any other cast that did this show had a thimble of the joy and excitement and roller coaster ride that we had on our journey in New York City on Broadway, then it would be worth it. And hopefully really special to cast, and we have seen that, and Jan and I were talking. That's been your experience with your cast, too, like
absolutely.
Bonding, hopefully.
All the way back to the auditions. After everybody sang for me in the auditions, I said, okay, now we're going to do some readings from the script. And after reading the beginning and some notes that Hunter put in the beginning of the script, I just, this show is about four friends. And even though you may be reading a scene with somebody you just met, I need to see the possibility of a bonding and a friendship happening. So I don't want you to act for me today. I don't want you to put on a big show. You just killed it with your songs. So just show me four friends trying to work it out and figure out how they're going to make their dreams come true. And then with the actual cast, I think a couple of them had worked together, and not all of them had worked together, certainly not all four of them. And I think that bonding process has actually happened within this cast as they mirrored the actual four.
Yeah, in many ways it might be a little easier, because once you get to really, really know somebody, you know, you're bonded together by the fact you're doing a show.
Right.
Absolutely.
And once
that
you actually really
generally
get to know them, it's the, then there, that's when the problems begin.
That's
right. That's right. And we're all each other, up in each other's grills. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to ask you, you mentioned that this is a story of all of you guys basically coming to realize a dream, but you're also putting your whole life out there, or at least as you're writing it, your interpretation of their whole life. Was there any conflicts? Because, you know, Susan Blackwell is doing Susan Blackwell. Heidi Blickenstaff is doing Heidi Blickenstaff.
Yeah, of course there's conflict. It would be crazy if there weren't, I think, because we were passionate, excited, and believed in this so much and when it happened. That being said, there were boundaries in our collaboration of, again, we never set out to just make a full straight-up documentary. Yeah. You know, so I always think about it was Oprah in A Million Little Pieces, you know, that author with James. And our goal was to write an entertaining musical theater piece and a great show. So people always ask, what's true? And I'm like, everything's true except for the part that's not. And what's not true a lot of times is just it's condensed into a tight 90-100 minutes, you know, and singing and dancing. But conflict was there. But there were times when things we would discuss, and sometimes it's heightened for stage because I want it to be a great show. And actually, our conflict resolution in real life is probably much more boring than it might be on stage. But that's not to say that through that creative process, which was we started writing the show in 2004, it arrived in Open and Broadway in 2008. That's a 4-year roller coaster. So we were started as freshmen and seniors rule. So there was conflict. There were discussions of should we put this in? Should we not put this in? Transparency. Because we did try and put it out there. And I give a lot of credit to director of the original production, Michael Bress, incredible director, Tony-nominated actor as well. And Michael pushed us from the outside to say, you know what, dare to go there. Like, dare to show the rougher stuff. Dare to show the conflict. Dare to show your vulnerable true selves, because that's gold in them, their hills. And he was right. But it was scary to strip away any kind of tricks and kind of portray yourself. Again, heightened and 8 times a week. But we revealed a lot of about ourselves on stage, which was terrifying and ultimately rewarding.
And especially having success right out the box. I can imagine where at some point all or any of the four of you were saying, okay, this is as far as it's going to go.
All the time. It's what's great about musical theater and collaboration and having a writing partner, because on any given day, I'm like, I'm throwing in the towel. I can't do this. It's not going to happen. And Jeff would come back and be like, but I wrote a new song, and lift you up. And then cut to 24 hours, Jeff, like, I'm throwing in the towel. And I'm like, I wrote a new scene. I got a barn. I got a sewing machine. Let's do a show.
Let's do a show.
But honestly, having those collaborators to lift you up. And I think that's represented in the show, too.
Now, in the original proposal, I think you had lyrics, but you didn't necessarily have songs yet.
That is true. Little known fact. It was you submitted to the festival a script and a demo with 4 songs. But in the script were songs that had lyrics but no tunes to it. But mm-hmm. There were some good lyrics in there. And I think what it inspired and spoke to us about, too, is, I don't know, I kind of moved through the world, much less so now, but being very afraid to put my stuff out there. And part of the great thing with that deadline and being like, no, let's just put it in the mail, put it in the mail. Like, it doesn't even matter what happens. There was a freedom in that expression that wasn't result-oriented that kind of got some stuff on the page that might not have been there if I was like, okay, now this is going to open on Broadway. You know, it was a free expression and lyrics without tunes yet.
Yeah. I love the attitude of the musical because it there's a great attitude towards it of, you know, so many musicals today it's a marketing team as much as it is an original piece. And I think there's a number of songs that sort of allude to that.
Yeah.
All throughout, you know, everything. A good movie makes a good musical, you know, that's the sort of thing.
And this was a musical. Well, it makes a musical.
What's that?
The punchline is, well, it makes a musical.
It makes a musical, yeah.
It is humbling and sobering to realize how hard it is to make an original story. And it's why so many things are adaptations. Now, that's nothing new. I mean, you know, Oklahoma is based on, you know,
Green Grove and Lilacs,
Lilium and Carousel. So there's a long history of source material. And now it just happens to be our pop culture. It comes from movies and screenplays. So I was quite proud that this was original. And it was crazy that it made the journey that it did. But some of that originality is hard fought and hard won. We're proud of it.
Now, when you first put this before audiences, was the reaction, oh, I get it immediately, or was it a little bit of head scratching?
All the above. And what's fascinating about this piece is I think what we learned too, we had a great run at the New York Music Theater Festival, and then part of our growth was we went off Broadway and a beautiful theater in New York City, the Vineyard Theater, where Avenue Q started, and another of Three Tall Women, an incredible place that does risky stuff, and so grateful for their subscriber audience who is willing and game to take a ride. So we had butts in seats, which is helpful. And what we learned, we kind of grew up in that off-Broadway time of saying, oh, this is a real show. And what we also learned too is to trust our work and trust the audience. And it is kind of the the strange thing about the show of like we would make up stories of like, oh, they like it, they don't like it, which is not uncommon for actors to on stage, when the truth is you don't know what experience an audience is having. And what we learned so much was, especially in matinees with an older crowd, at talkbacks, we're like, oh man, they're listening and they're taking this ride. And for the most part, people, you know, kind of confusion at first, or like, what is this? This feels different. It's not familiar. But slowly you just sink back in your seat. And for the most part, went quite well, and people took the ride, and ultimately I think fell in love with the four characters on stage, and hopefully are rooting for them.
Yeah, Jan, is that something you try to stress in the way you shape the show? Again, a regional audience, well outside of New York, and some of these references are, they're a little New York-y. I mean, some of them.
Yeah, I it's interesting.
Or at least musical theater-y.
Musical theater-y. But yeah. I'm thinking like with the internet and,
sure.
You know, it's all...
Well, yes, but there are... Like Hunter was saying earlier, there are still people who dream, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a musical theater dream or an acting dream or a writing dream. But it's a show about making your dreams come true and fighting the thoughts inside your own mind and the thoughts and the words that come out from well-meaning people who suggest maybe you can't or shouldn't do or go for
or go the easier
to
route.
Be. Exactly.
Yeah. Or sell out. You know.
And... I also know that Tulsa has some theater going on, and yeah. We have a lot of really talented performers in this city, and I know that they know this show. And there are a lot of colleges here and around here, and I know that the young folks in school know this show. It's got a huge following with younger people, and I just really hope and expect them to show and come out and see, and I know that it will appeal to them. If you have any love at all for musical theater or have any kind of dream, this is the show for you. Even though there are so many references, that doesn't matter because that's a part of it and a part of their experience, but it's not the heart of the show. The heart of the show is being with people you love and striving toward doing what you love.
I love that.
And of course, this is the ultimate payoff because, you know, you've done Broadway, you've done the tour with it, and now, okay, it's on to the next case, really, for you, and you're watching people become, you know, Hunter Bell, Jeff Bowen, and these people. What was that experience like the first time you'd given it off to a regional theater or something like that?
I highly recommend for a surreal experience that you write a musical about your life and have someone else perform it in front of you. I was like, it's the closest to This Is Your Life a little. It's thrilling because as a writer and a creative person, you make something in the dark with your friends and sometimes by yourself. And I love this show and I love this story and I want as many people to share in it. So I'm thrilled that continues to be done everywhere, and I believe in it. So that's there's pride in that. Then there are always pockets when I go see it. It's less weird now. The first few productions I went and saw, because we'd never even seen the show because we were in it. So I was like, hey, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying this. And so there's joy in that, you know, just getting to see different productions. But there are always pockets of I forget to, and I'll prepare myself. It is, you know, that there are moments that are emotional. For me, I was like, oh, my gosh, all that did happen. And there are different – it always strikes me in different places a little bit where it'll kind of catch me of a moment that will trigger a very specific memory. But ultimately, it's like Christmas Day, too, because when you license a show and other actors, it goes on their bodies and minds and other directors. It's Christmas Day because there are things that I never – as much as I like to think I know everything – I'm like, oh my God, I never even thought of it that way. And that's brilliant. And it's so exciting. You know, I'm like, an actor will just do a take or a spin or someone will like have a moment or there'll be some element of it direction wise. So it's thrilling. I've been so happy that it's out there.
Well, it sounds like you also look for the good things as opposed to things, oh, I wouldn't have done
that
it that way.
Hunter Bell.
Yeah, I mean, I like to try and live my life a little through that. I've seen some nutty productions, but at the end of the day, too, it's not – I signed up to give this away, and a little of it is Jeff and I always equated of like you send your kid to school, and like early on the first productions, it's like a kinder. Now he likes to take a nap at 2, and he likes his apple sliced without this peel, like totally controlling parent. But then eventually you relax, you're like, they got this, and let the world interpret it, and give it away, and take the ride. And if you have any control issues or hold on tight, I could see where that would be a miserable thing to just be like, no, that's, you take a beat there. That's not the way I want to roll, and it's not my job or my place, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just try for the joy.
Are you still collaborating with Jeff at this point?
I am, yeah. We did an
have a collaboration prior to the beginning
of
this?
We did. We'd worked together as actors. We met, and then...
But had you written together?
We had written an adaptation of, ready for this one, folks, of 9 to 5, the musical, not the one that ended up on Broadway.
But a different one.
A different one. And we took it upon ourselves, and we wrote Dolly Parton. It was like, anybody have the rights? And they wrote back, and they said no. And like, can we do this? Like, knock yourself out. Just don't charge anything. And we put together this reading in New York of our version, and it didn't go on. But what we learned is, oh, this is how stuff gets done. You do it. And everybody's kind of faking, and it's all smoke and mirrors a little bit. And you just go out there and do it. And we were terrified and clueless, but we did it. And it got a great response. And we learned how to collaborate and how to write a show. And the next thing we said, well, why don't we do something original? So that, because we didn't obviously obtain the rights to that, lesson learned. but what we did take away from it is the joy of creating together and that collaboration. So we did title of show. Then that same creative team created a second piece called Now Hear This. Available on iTunes and Amazon. Can
it's
I plug
so
it?
Good. Yes.
But it was like sort of it's not a sequel, but a companion piece, only in that it was the same collaborative team with Hunter, Heidi, Susan, Jeff. And that show happened. And then we'll work on something else. And we kind of veer off to other side projects and we come back together. But we're not for the long haul together. Yeah.
That's great. Well, that's great. And the other thing is how you, over that four-year period, you marketed this show with these incredible videos. You actually have a name, a title of show.
We did. We created part out of necessity, part out of boredom, part out of wanting to get the show out there. When we closed the show off Broadway, we're like, well, clearly we'll open on Broadway tomorrow, right? Didn't work out that way. So we had this kind of gap of time. And we're like, how do we fill this? And we didn't want the show to go to Broadway. And we started making these. It was kind of on the Wild Wild West of YouTube was coming up. And this is sort of pre-Facebook, Twitter kind of coming into it. So we started making videos chronicling the journey outside of the journey. And, you know, it became part of a creative outlet, part of a marketing outlet. But again, a lesson in... go for it. Do it. You know, just do it. And at first they were messy and ridiculous. And then slowly we made an announcement, filmed ourselves. Barta Cameron said, title show's open on Broadway. And then people would Playbill.com call and say, wait, is this happening? Like, title show in 10 on Broadway. And I'm like, oh, this is how this works. You just start saying it out. And maybe some people will do it. So I'm glad it worked out the way it did, because it would have been the most embarrassing revelation ever. But we loved creating those. And it's a great time waster if you want to go to YouTube and watch the title show.
Well, it sounds like this is a lot of fun getting back together, since you have this history together at Webster at college.
Absolutely.
And you know.
I know we played the name. It's thrilling. It really is. Because we are a part of our lives in a really important chapter, and it's fun to kind of be grown-ups but still, you know, have that fabric woven in. And it's why I'm here. I love this show, but I love Jana too. And to see, like, we cut from the same cloth, had the same training. So it's
slugged it out in the trenches together.
I know, we did. And I know, like, her value system and her talent and mind and heart, so it's why it's exciting and it's an important one for me to see.
All right. Yay. Well, we hope a lot of people come out and see Title of Show,
too,
which continues
Please. This
week, Thursday through Saturday, at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Jana, Hunter, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rich.
The book writer, librettist, and original star, Hunter Bell, of the musical Title of Show, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa, along with American Theater Company's director, Jana Ellis. American Theater Company continues its production of Title of Show this Thursday through Saturday at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. For information, visit tulsapac.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. We're going to leave you with a little more music from Title of Show. I'm Rich Fisher.
I'd rather be 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing. 9 people's favorite thing than 100 people's 9th favorite thing.
Yeah, you're right, Jeffy, let's not compromise. Let's keep making something we've never seen. A risk was taken with On the Town, and look what happened.